I shall be reading Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is, the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that you may be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, for ever and ever. Amen.
We're on. Well, good morning, everybody, and a really warm welcome to a number of people who came, I think, after you were officially welcome. So you are welcome. So you're for the first time here. It's a real joy for us to see you, and we do welcome you. This isn't right. Oh, well, not to worry. Thank you, Josh, for reading. That's an amazing prayer that Paul spoke to the Ephesian church. He had a lot of involvement with the Ephesian church. And it's a great prayer. This is his second prayer in the chapter that we read. And it's a wonderful thing. Those of you that have heard me speak over recent months, you know that I've been speaking a little bit about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in the Ephesian epistle. And here we've got a reference to the work of the Holy Spirit, where it says that, and I hope you are following in your Bibles if you have your Bible handy. He says, "This reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you to be to the rich of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Now the Holy Spirit is the great strengthener. He's the person who works out in our experience all that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought for us on Calvary. So the Holy Spirit is the person who enacts the work of God in our lives. He's the one who brings what heaven has done down into the earthiness of our experiences. And he is a great strengthener. I guess every one of us, to some extent this morning, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ will recognize that they've had times in their lives when, were it not for the work of the Holy Spirit, they would have failed, they would have become weak. But the Holy Spirit strengthens us. Isn't that wonderful? He's the strengthener. Now that doesn't mean to say that he makes us kind of physically strong like this, and it's nothing to do with our capacities on a human level, on a personality level, or anything like that. It's to do with the inward working of God in our hearts and in our spirits, in what the Bible here, in what Paul describes as our inner man. We've all got an inner man. We can see our outward man, can't we? This morning we look around, lots of people, and they're all men and women. There's an outward man, outward woman. But what God is talking about here, he's talking about the inward spirit of each and every one of us. The inward part of us that knows God. The spirit of a man or the spirit of a woman. And that's where the Holy Spirit's strengthening happens. It happens in a man or in a woman's innermost being. That's a tremendous thing, isn't it? And I want you to see what Paul prays for these people in Ephesus. He prays that in verse 16, if you're following me, that according to the riches of his glory, and if you're a regular member of the church over recent months, you'll know we've heard a lot about the riches of his grace, the riches of his mercy, the riches of his glory. Here we are, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ, here it is, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. What an incredible prayer. What an incredible prayer. Those receiving it in Ephesus, you must imagine their joy and the strengthening that through the Holy Spirit came to them, through this man Paul as he prayed for them. Prayed that they would be inwardly strengthened. Prayed that Christ would dwell in their hearts. Pray that they might be able to comprehend the love of God. Praying that they may know the fullness of the Spirit of God in their lives. I don't know what was going on in Ephesus at the time. I don't know what was happening there. I don't know the issues that they were passing through. We do know later on in the book of Revelation that they came under temptation and they became lukewarm and various things. But at this time when Paul is writing to them, this is what he's praying for. It's not that there are particular practical things that he's thinking about, that may be true. But what he's concerned about is that they should be strengthened in their inner man by the activity of the Holy Spirit. That Christ might dwell in their hearts through faith. That they might know the love of God. And that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a wonderful thing that is. And I'm conscious that we're going into a week of prayer. And I wonder what it is that the Spirit of God would lead us to pray. I don't think this week it will be about particular practical things and people and circumstances so much as perhaps these great things. That we may know the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. That we may know that Christ indwells each and every one of us. That we may know and come to understand and comprehend something of the amazing dimensions of the love of God that is for each of us to know. And that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. What an incredible prayer from the apostle. And this idea, this word here, that they should be filled with all the fullness of God. That word fullness is a wonderful word in the New Testament. Pleroma is the Greek word. It's a tremendous word implying depths and heights and lengths and breadths. All in the great love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. And God's great desire is that we should be filled with his fullness. You know, of course, that was how the church began, didn't it? It began with the Spirit of God being poured out on the day of Pentecost. I won't turn you to all the references. You can look them up. I can supply them to you if you're interested later. But the church came into being on the day of Pentecost by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon a small group of believers. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. And you know that the Ephesians also had an experience similar to that. If you turn just for a moment into the book of Acts, chapter 19... You know that Paul came into Ephesus having been through Corinth. And he found a group of disciples. We're told a bit later down there's only about 12 of them. But when Paul came to speak with them, he obviously realized things were not quite right. And his big question to them in verse 2 of chapter 19 is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's a great question, isn't it? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. The Holy Spirit is essential to our full salvation. The coming of the Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives is essential to bring all that Jesus has done and to bring it into our experience so that we actually know the full intentions of God's purposes for us. And that full experience of His grace and His love and His life made known to us by the coming of the Holy Spirit. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It's a wonderful question. Excuse me. When Paul came to Ephesus, he talks about at least three baptisms. He said, if you didn't receive the Holy Spirit, what did you receive? And they said, well, we didn't really know. We never really heard anything at all about the Holy Spirit. So he said, into what were you baptized then? And they said, well, we were baptized into John's baptism. That is John the Baptist, who came and he preached about repentance. And he preached about the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. Paul says to them, but there was a greater baptism than John's baptism, wasn't there? And he talked to them about the baptism of Jesus and the fact that we should be baptized into Him. And when they heard that, it says they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's great, you know, to be baptized as a follower of Jesus. We're instructed in Scripture that we should be baptized by immersion in water as a testimony to our faith in the Lord and in the experience that He has brought us into. That's a good thing to do, but even that isn't sufficient, because he goes on to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit into their hearts and into their lives. It doesn't actually call it a baptism, but that's what it was. It was them being immersed in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God being immersed in them. And one of the great illustrations that helped me as a younger man when I was trying to think about how it could be that we could be immersed in Christ and Christ could be immersed in us. One of the things that I found helpful was the idea of perhaps you being down on the sea and having a bottle, and you could fill the bottle up with water and you could say that I've got Christ in me in a picture form. Or you could take that bottle and you could throw it out into the ocean. And not only then would that water be in the bottle, Christ in me, but the bigger truth would be that the bottle was in the ocean. And when Paul prays here, back in Ephesians chapter 3, he's praying that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. He's got that, or the Spirit of God is that kind of thing in his mind, that we are immersed in Christ and Christ is immersed in us. He's in us and we're in him. We've been filled out into all the fullness of the Godhead. That's what the word actually implies in the Greek. It's not just receiving in, but it's a filling out into all that God has done for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing that is. The fullness of God. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Did I receive the Holy Spirit when I received? So many of us have incomplete experiences of our beginnings. And that's why we need to be reminded by the Holy Spirit to be brought back to these essential, immediate things of our faith in the Lord Jesus, that we need an experience of and a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And then you can be baptized in water as a testimony to what God has done in spirit in your life, in our lives. You know, there's lots of references to the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. We obviously haven't got time to look at them, and I have no immediate intention to draw your attention to all of them. But as I've looked at all the references, there's about 20 references in the book of Acts to the work of the Holy Spirit. It seems to me they're divided up into two aspects or two sections. And one is that there were occasions recorded by Paul where the Holy Spirit came upon and into the lives of men and women. So just for example, we heard from Roger a few weeks back about the coming of Paul upon Simon. You remember Simon? He got it wrong at times, but he had an experience of the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle had an experience of the Holy Spirit, didn't he, on the road to Damascus, when the bright light from heaven, and he came off his came down into the dust, he was blinded, went to the street called Straight, and so on. And there he received a visit from Ananias, who said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight," and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The house of Cornelius was another example, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them even while Paul was preaching, or Peter was preaching, before he'd even completed what he was going to say, and the Holy Spirit came and fell upon that group of believers. And not only can you see the experiences of individual men and women encountering the Holy Spirit, but you can also see the outworking of the promise that God made to the disciples right back in the beginning, that you'll be witnesses unto me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And those experiences of people actually fall into that group of people. There were the disciples in Jerusalem. There was Simon in Samaria, and then of course in the house of Cornelius and beyond, there was the filling out of the Holy Spirit into the lives of the Gentile population. So all of those examples are at times when individuals or groups of people received an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. And then the other references that I recognize in the Holy Spirit are what I would call character references. So I've already referred, for example, to Ananias, and he's described as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Or you could read about Barnabas, who was a man of encouragement, and he's described as being full of the Holy Spirit. When Stephen was being stoned, he was described as being a man filled with the Holy Spirit. When they chose the six deacons, or what is presumed to be deacons, of which Stephen was one and Philip was one, you may remember, they were described as one of the criteria, one of the essential criteria that should be theirs to fulfill the task that God had given them, was that they were to be men and women who were holy but were filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you see the essential necessity for all of us to not only know the work of the Holy Spirit working in us, bringing us into all that God has got for us, but then that should become the characteristic of our lives? And Paul mentions that when he talks to the Ephesians. He says, you're not just to receive the Holy Spirit, but you are to go on being filled. You remember that in chapter 5? Just let me quote it to you. Don't be drunk, he says, with wine, in which is dissipation, that is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, or the Greek tense there is, go on being filled, continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what a wonderful thing that is. It's not enough for us to look back upon a time, once upon a time in our lives when God met us and came to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, as essential and normal as that needs, essential as that was to be, but that our challenge is to go on being filled day by day as we walk in obedience with Him. Being filled out into all the fullness of God. Continuing to receive Him. Continuing to walk in Him. Continuing to believe in His great love, that love that is beyond dimension. that's above and beyond width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. To be filled out into all the fullness of God. Makes one feel very small, doesn't it? Makes one feel very as if we've hardly begun. And yet there's the great joy and the expectation and the anticipation of having a lifetime to discover what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk in communion with the Lord. The Lord's spoken to us much this morning already, hasn't he? Many references, many references to him being prepared to walk alongside us, coming to us, running to us, being with us in the variety of experiences that we go through in life. Things great and small, things joyful, things that are sorrowful. To know the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was concerned for these Ephesian believers, because he says, as you know, the well-known chapter in chapter 6, he says, my brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is why he prayed that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit, who would be strengthening them and making them strong inwardly. You know, some of the weakest people physically, outwardly, in God can be the greatest and the most strong. I often think of dear Amy Carmichael, whose life influenced so many people, and yet she spent the latter 10, 12 years, was it, of her life confined to a bed where they used to push her out onto the veranda so that she could see the mountains. One of my favorite poems is about her climbing. She was climbing, she was still climbing, confined to a bed, still reaching out, still going on with God, still experiencing his fullness, still knowing his power that strengthened her in spite of the weakness of her own frailty. The fact that God was in her and filling her day by day gave her the power to go on living to his glory. What a great example she is. So don't be put off if you think yourself as being a weak person. You're actually the kind of person that God can strengthen. So wonderful that in our capacities, our incapacities, in the things that we think to be disqualifications about us, are the very things that God can take up and use by the working of his Spirit to conform us to him and to make us useful in his ministry and in his service. Bless the name of the Lord. And to know the love of Christ, what a great and wonderful promise that is, that springs from the prayer of this dear apostle as he prayed for these people, just the 12 of them that he originally brought into being there in Acts 19, as we saw, just desirous that they should be filled with the love of God. I guess ultimately that's all that matters, that we should know the love of God, live in the love of God, and minister the love of God. It's often said, you know, that people will quickly forget what men and women say to them, but they will much, much more slowly forget the impression that the life of the person had upon them. That's not an exact quotation, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. And I think that's absolutely true. I think people leave a fragrance with them if they're walking with Jesus. If they're walking in the love of God, you know and feel that long after anything they may say to you. I know the people that have made the greatest impression upon my life have been like that. They've been people that have loved me. Bless the name of the Lord. And some of God's weakest saints are his greatest lovers. So that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? They are his greatest saints. Bless the Lord. I wonder how the Lord will lead us when we come to prayer tomorrow night. I certainly trust that we will be able to receive strengthening by the Holy Spirit. I trust that we may know the indwelling Christ in greater measure than we've ever known him before. I trust that we might be filled with the love of God that is beyond definition and only can be described by dimension, beyond width and length and depth and height, to be filled with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together, shall we? And let's have a time when we can just talk to the Lord, continue to love him, continue to rejoice in his presence and appreciate afresh all that he is and all that he has done for us. Father, we worship you. Holy Spirit, we worship you. Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you. Triune Holy God, we love you and thank you for all that you've done for us and for all that you continue to do. We open our hearts, I open my heart, Lord, conscious of my great need for you to be strengthened in my inmost being, to know your love, to know your grace, your power. Thank you that it's according to your great riches, your incomparable riches in glory. We bless you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.